Hi guys, Lauren here. I am doing this video, which will also serve as the Help for HD Live podcast. The audio will be used for the podcast. So let me start by saying this program is made possible because of Teva Pharmaceuticals, Neurocrine Biosciences, and the Griffin Foundation. I today had hoped to share with you earlier, actually, what I've learned from the World Orphan Drug Congress in Boston. I had to catch an earlier flight, so I'm a little late in posting, so I guess these are late night ramblings again, which is fine, but definitely kind of in my feelings now that I'm at home processing. Bear with me as I try to go through all of this because I'm tired. I got home not long ago, and so I'm still processing, and I'm really tired. So I wrote notes for myself to hopefully get through everything that I wanted to say, but I wanted to share with you guys while it's all fresh on my mind. So I was in Boston for the World Orphan Drug Congress. And guys, it was phenomenal. I cannot begin to tell you just how incredible it was. So this specific conference, while it was for the rare disease community, and let me take a step back. So I've been very involved in the HD community for 17 years, going on 18 years, and, you know, I love it. But this is my first time really going to a conference that is a broader focus. It's a focus of rare disease community and not just Huntington's. And so I thought that I would go because I felt like it would be helpful to learn from other disease communities, to hear from them, what's worked for them, what hasn't. One of the great things about this specific conference is there were people from the FDA there, so I was really excited to be able to talk to them. It's one of the reasons I really wanted to go, was knowing that there were, you know, going to be FDA people there, and I was really hoping to get some great information. So that being said, I got beyond what I was expecting. This specific conference is very heavy on pharma and regulatory and, you know, on the drug side of things, right? It's not a conference, a patient-focused conference in that, you know, there are advocacy sessions, but they're not like what you would experience at like an HDSA convention, that are the specific tracks for, families, with rare disease. So what does that mean? Well, that means that I got to interact with a lot of people and connect with a lot of people. This specific conference made it possible to actually talk with people from the FDA and talk with other advocates in the rare disease space. But, you know, even people who were higher up in rare disease organizations. And that's not something that I've had the opportunity to do until now. So it was super exciting. First off, I want to say thank you to Seth Rotberg, because I told Seth that I was going to this meeting, and I told him how anxious I was, being that I was not going to know anybody there. And Seth really just, he gave me these connections to make me feel, comfortable. And one of the connections was this guy named Richie, and he really just took me under his wing and helped me with getting introduced to people and making connections, and Seth helped me with that, and it really just made the process so much easier for me and my anxiety. Like, it really helped. So thank you, Seth, for doing that. Thank you, Richie, for letting me tag along and for introducing me to people and explaining things. It was just awesome to have that. So thank you. So one of the other things I wanted to share with you guys that was a really big deal for me, and that made this event so phenomenal. So the first night, I shared with you guys my feelings on how I was just so welcomed by the other rare disease advocates. And that continued throughout the whole event. Effie Parks, who, this will not be the last time I talk about her, but she is a very well-known rare disease advocate. She has a podcast called Once Upon a Gene. If you have not heard it, go check it out. So Effie didn't know me from anybody, okay? One of the other advocates who was there, who had been sitting with me at dinner, saw that or heard that I was doing a podcast, and she said, "Oh, well, I've got to introduce you to Effie." And so she went and she took me so I could meet Effie Parks. And the response that I got, guys, and it wasn't just from Effie, but this started really, like, it really got me emotional. So being introduced to Effie, and then one of the first things that she says to me is, "What can I do to help? You know, what can I do?" And it wasn't anything, but she legitimately wanted to help. Like, that's the first thing she thought of is, "How can I help you? Do you want to collaborate? Do you want me to spread the word? Like, how can I help?" And I was just kind of blown away by that, because this is a new person coming into this space and she's just like, "Let me help." And that was a consistent thing throughout this conference, in that people, in advocates in this rare disease space, were so willing to help, and it felt so welcoming. And so today I was in a session. I was at a round table, and I was telling some of the struggles that we have in the HD community, especially with pre-symptomatic, pre-manifest, but more than that, clinical trials, just a bunch of stuff. And, again, the response was, "We're behind you. How can we help you? Do you need us to collaborate? We'll collaborate. Do you need us to be a voice for you? We'll do it. You need us to help with resources? We're there." And it was so amazing to see these other advocates in dealing with their own rare diseases, dealing with their own barriers and things in their own communities, and they're just so willing to help. And it just was inspiring, and it's brought me back with such an amazing feeling. So I wanted to share that with you guys, because this was truly a good thing for me to get to experience this. So I want to say to all of those wonderful rare disease advocates that I met who welcomed me with open arms and who are so willing to help, thank you. It truly is, it means the world. Anyways, I was not going to cry, but that went out the window. So the other side of why this was so good, as I mentioned, like, there, it was really easy to talk to people we normally don't get to talk to. So a lot of that has to do with like FDA. I got to talk to people in the Critical Path Institute with the FDA. This is something I'm going to be talking to you guys about. Critical Path Institute is really trying to help us move forward with clinical trials, biomarkers, all these areas that we have barriers. The Critical Path Institute is trying to work with us to resolve the issues and to solve problems and to accelerate our timeline. And getting to talk to them and, you know, really delve into what we deal with in the community and, you know, and what they need from us in order to get things done. Having those conversations is huge, getting those connections. I also got to talk to a lady who's with the National Organization of Rare Diseases, and she's their policy and regulatory person, and just listening to her speak and everything, she did a call to action for disease groups with a pediatric component and who have pediatric patients, and just a call to action to where they are trying to make it possible for people with pediatric rare diseases to participate in clinical trials. Okay. That is one of their goals, and they're actively working on it. And she did a call to action of, if you have people in your community who are willing to speak on that, you know, they have a child who is dealing with a rare disease and they are being kept from participating in clinical trials, let me know. Well, of course, I, being the person I am, immediately ran over to the table and I said, I have a community for you. And I immediately told her about all of the wonderful families in the juvenile onset HD subgroup. And I told her I would love to connect you with these families and make them part of this initiative, because I know that they would love to take part in something like this and getting something to where their children can participate in clinical trials. And she said, absolutely. And so again, it's just connections like that, right? Like, I would have never been able to do that before, and this conference gave me that opportunity, and she was accessible. I was able to go right to her. Didn't matter that she was VP of whatever, she was right there, and I was able to talk to her, and it was so nice. I had so many of those, and I'm gonna share a bunch of those as time goes. Like, I have a lot of things planned because of the information I've received and connections and stuff. So you guys be on the lookout, because that is coming towards you. I'll be in touch with you guys on a lot of it. But I learned that we have a community beyond our own that is supporting us. I learned that there are disease communities who have been able to get things passed, who have set a precedent where they've gotten things passed or approved that we've had a barrier with. And so getting to listen to their stories and how they were able to overcome the barriers, or to like what steps they took towards their solution, extremely helpful. And I have found that every single person is willing to talk and share those, you know, those things in order to help. So yeah, it's truly amazing event. I do plan on going next year. I actually am looking at doing some other conferences that are within the rare disease space, because I feel like we as a community need to be part of this, right? Just like they're so supportive of us, we need to be supportive of them and and all be there for each other. And, you know, one of the things that we discussed is when we work together and we find a barrier that applies to all of us, if we all work together as a rare disease community rather than our own just doing its thing, we're more likely to have a solution for the barrier, to remove it, because you've got more people thinking on it, working on it, but also it makes for a louder voice. And so, you know, that's one of the things I discussed, is how we can find the specific barriers that might apply to all of us in the rare disease community and work with the other rare disease communities to overcome those barriers. And so, you know, that's in the works as well. You know, all of this is important, guys, for many different reasons, but a lot of you know that, like, my big push recently has been that we're running out of time. And those of us who are, you know, those who are pre-symptomatic, those of us who are pre-manifest, who have cognitive symptoms and not movements, and we can't participate in clinical trials because we don't meet criteria. I've literally been told I'm too healthy, okay? That shouldn't be happening. We should have the choice. This is our life. These are our lives. We should have a choice of whether or not we take on the risks of participating in clinical trials. And we've not had that choice. And now is the time that we need to be speaking up about it. Now is the time that the FDA needs us to be speaking up about it. Now is the time that our voices matter so much. We have a meeting coming up with the FDA in late fall, okay? And that's huge. Huge that we've gotten this meeting. I'm so excited about this meeting to have this opportunity for our community to have a voice and to talk to the FDA again, okay? But we really need to talk. We need to speak up. And so I really just encourage you guys to do that. You know, if you need to know where to start, if you don't know, like, what you could do, or you can't, you know, you're super busy and you think, well, there's no way I can help. I promise you, there's some way that you can help, even if it's 5 minutes. There is a way you can help. So please reach out to me, because I'm happy to share what I have learned. I am happy to, you know, to speak for you. If you want to tell me your story and say, Lauren, go and share it, I will share your story, but I need to have permission to do it. And so does the FDA. And, you know, those are the things that we need. We have advocates who are willing to do that. If you're not comfortable sharing yourself, or if you're too busy, but we have to have the permission. And, you know, but we're happy to share it. We're happy to speak up. And like I said, there's a whole rare disease community who's happy to join us and to speak up for us as well and fight with us. And so let's take advantage of that, because now is the time. Now is absolutely the time. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts with you guys today, and a little bit of what I learned. There's definitely more to come. I want to delve more into some of the sessions that I attended. So I'll have some videos on that and stuff. And, you know, I also have some specific things, like I had mentioned, for juvenile onset HD community, and even for HDO ambassadors. Like, there's just so much information that I want to share with you guys, but I can't do it tonight. I'm too tired. So thank you guys for watching. Thanks for following me this week, and all the time. Thanks for, you know, for following me on Help for HD Live, and I hope that you continue to follow me here, and you know, you can subscribe. And if you are wanting to get loud and you are wanting to share your story, or you want to figure out how else you can contribute and participate in accelerating HD research and sharing the sense of urgency of we're running out of time and we want to have a choice in participating, and we want to have resources. That's a whole other show, guys. Anyways, if you're interested in learning more, please reach out to me. You can send me an email at lauren@helpforhd.org. You can also find me on social media, send me a message on there. Happy to talk on there as well. But thank you guys. I love you guys. I'm doing this because I love you guys and because we deserve to live, guys. We deserve to live. And this mindset that we're in of just dying from HD does not have to be the way that it is. We can live with HD. So, yeah, let's make it happen. I love you guys. Take care.